Good to see everyone this morning, and thankful the Lord's blessed us to come together for this purpose to worship, and pray that He'll bless our time together. And invite you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'd like to read to you verses 13 through 16. The Apostle Paul says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Or amen, whichever you prefer. I know that some religions of the world, they have men at the top that they look to, and they ascribe to them a lot of power. But when it comes to the New Testament church and to the kingdom of God, we also, or it also, has a man at the top who has all power, not just a lot of power. Here the Apostle Paul, of course, refers to him and gives him a title. And that title that he has is that of potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Not only is he the potentate, but Paul says he's the only potentate. Can't help but wonder that if God, in his infinite wisdom, knew before things would happen as far as his church was concerned, that he directed by his spirit the Apostle Paul to put this verse of in the holy word of God. Not only did Paul say that Jesus Christ is the potentate, but he said he's the only potentate. Amen. Makes it pretty clear and pretty plain. As we think about these verses of scripture, first of all, in verse 13, the potentate that is under consideration in verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells us that that he quickeneth all things. That simply means that life comes from him. The word quicken here means to make alive. He quickeneth all things. And again, this word all is not necessarily just he quickeneth everything, but all things that need to be quickened and all things that have life, they owe their life to him. God's the giver of life, always has been, and he always will be. Regardless of our position or our even strong emotions and feelings about where the devil come from, he owes his existence to God. That's the bottom line. Otherwise, there's only two options. You're either self-existent or you owe your existence to that which is self-existent. That's it. It can't be any other way, at least not any other way that I've ever been able to hear explained or could think of. And to say that Satan does not owe his existence to God would be to say that there are two self-existent ones. And without going into all of that, which I probably couldn't explain anyhow, that's one of those things that just simply cannot exist. Just couldn't. There can only be one self-existent one. And of course, that's the Lord. And here he says that I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. That's a testament to the power of the potentate, who is the all-powerful one. And one of the testaments to his power is the ability to give life. He's the author of life. He's the source of life. All things that exist, owe their existence to him. And not only is that true, but all things that he has created, which owe their existence to him, he has the power over them. He rules over them. If we learn nothing else from the experience between Nebuchadnezzar's experience in the Old Testament, he learned and he teaches us, that the God that brought him to the understanding and took him through the experience that he did, whenever he got through that experience, he recognized that there's only one true and living God, whose kingdom is a kingdom of kingdoms, and he ruleth over all the kingdoms of the world. So I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. And that, just real quickly, in the sight of God, I think the Apostle Paul, here's he's closing out this, because part of this lesson that I'm zeroing in on today is part of a broader lesson of the Apostle Paul's charge to Timothy. I give thee charge in the sight of God, etc. And in this charge, he's wanting Timothy to understand that the authority that you have as a minister of the gospel of God is not from me, but it's from the potentate. It's from the all-powerful one. It's from God, who quickeneth all things, who giveth life to all things. And to those things that he gives life to, he gives them the things that they need for life, including you as a minister of the gospel of Christ. And so the charge in all the things that he said to the young preacher Timothy up to this point in time, he's closing it out with wanting him to remember that as a minister of the gospel of Christ, first of all, your charge comes from the all-powerful one. Your mission is to speak on the behalf of the all-powerful one, so don't misrepresent him, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God if you misrepresent him. And lastly, your message is a powerful message because it's about the all-powerful one, the potentate, the Jesus Christ, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Which, by the way, as I understand it, the word Pontius there was a title that was given to men like him in that day. It's kind of interesting to think about that he refers to the fact that Jesus Christ witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate would have been considered in his day, other than the Roman emperor, of course, that he was the all-powerful one in the region that he governed. I mean, he was definitely the buck-stopped-here man. You remember what he said to Jesus Christ? He said, "Don't you know that I have power to have you put to death? Or I have power to have you saved from death?" Well, Jesus Christ just looked right back at him and said, "You wouldn't have any power at all if it wasn't given to thee of my Father which is in heaven." Amen. Well, so here we I understand that all of this is involved. The Apostle Paul didn't just fall out of the ink on his pen and just happen to be there. He's thinking about the scene that he'd been told about and maybe even witnessed. Who knows, what all the Apostle Paul saw. There's much about Apostle Paul's early life, very little that we know about. But anyhow, what he was told about or understood that was taking place, here is the here is the potentate standing before the Pontius. Here is the power of powers standing before the man who thinks he has a lot of power. In one sense, he did have. But Jesus Christ put him in his place. You would have no power if it wasn't given to thee of my Father, of which is in heaven. And by the way, he's the one who quickeneth all things. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until the appearing, until the epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the coming. It does denote his coming. But it's his appearing. I'm sure that you have. You know people in your life. You know that when they enter the room, they don't just come into the room. They appear. And sometimes it's by their design. You know, they want you to pay attention to them. I mean, they make sure when you come into the room that you know that they're in the room. But now there are other people, just because of their personality, maybe just because of their status or station in life, or some people, God has blessed them, they just have that charisma. That when they come into the room, even though you don't see them, you can almost feel like, you know, somebody special has just entered this room. Well, multiply that, you know, as much as you want to multiply it, and think about it then in the terms of the appearing or the epiphany of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that in charging, and this, you know, this is a serious thing. I mean, think about the power that he's invoked for the young preacher Timothy to think about who he represents, the God of gods, the King of kings, the potentate of potentates, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. You know, you do this every day that you get up, you remember what charge has been given you as a minister, as a spokesperson, as a mouthpiece, if you please, for Jesus Christ. The power that has called you to do this thing. You remember that. And you do that until the appearing of our Lord, Jesus Christ. which is a special thing. It's a commandment, of course, to a man. It's a commandment to men whom God has called to speak in his name, that you be ever faithful. That you not just be somewhat faithful, but that you be ever faithful. And you be so faithful that if you were to somehow exist, live, last, live out your days until the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm literally talking about here the appearing, the epiphany of Jesus Christ. See, those apostles, I personally firmly believe, and I know that many, if not most of my brethren believed, that Jesus Christ's return was not going to last as long as it has. They believed he was coming back, and he was coming back shortly. And they lived their life that way. Not only in anticipation and expectation, after all, they lived with the Lord. And if anybody wanted to be with the Lord again, don't you think it would be those people who lived with the Lord? Who had seen him, as John says, that we've handled the word of life. We've heard him. We've seen him. And they, you know, they, I can only imagine what they felt when they saw him go, first of all, when they saw him perish on the cross and die. You know, a lot of times we give those disciples a hard time, I think too hard of a time, whenever all that took place and Jesus Christ died and they fled. That thing's about too close to me. I think it was only natural for them to do that. You know, they were just men. And what they had been taught, what they had witnessed, what they had learned, and what they had seen, and what their hopes were. We, you know, on the road to Emmaus, those men said, we verily believed that this was the hope of Israel. This was our deliverer. And what happened? He died. Can't you just imagine? You know, we're all discouraged when our loved ones die. But can you imagine if you knew that your loved one was and had spent 3.5 years witnessing what they witnessed, hearing what they heard, and he dies? I think I'd have run too. You know, I there's a prophecy about the end times, but I think that, you know, about the rocks falling, you know, wanting the rocks to cover us, I think those apostles felt the same way. You know, their hopes, if anybody could say our hopes have been dashed, surely they could have. But up from the grave he arose. You know, and they witnessed that. They spent literally 40 days and 40 nights with him in his resurrected body. And then they had the promise that I'll be with you. Lo, I'm with you always until the end of time. They felt his presence in a way that I think that no other men have felt it, because that they were apostles. I think we can feel his presence. And I believe that the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ today, whenever they are applying themselves even just to study, but especially when it comes to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an unexplainable presence that they have. That you can't replicate any other way. It's an appearing. It's like an appearing. It's an epiphany. Maybe that's more of what the Apostle Paul had under consideration. But yet in the larger picture, this is the promise, not only to Timothy, but to all of his ministering servants until Jesus Christ does appear. Their charge, you know, if they have a charge, if there's a universal charge for every man called to preach the gospel, this is it, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. Now he didn't say time here is plural by design. He didn't just say he will show in his time. You know, he's going to show, I mean, whenever the grand epiphany occurs, whenever the resurrection at the last day occurs, you know, the eyes of all the earth, every creature, not just human beings, but angels and spirits and devils, they'll behold him and they'll understand without any doubt, without any reservation, who he is, that he is the only potentate. That'll be laid to rest in everyone's mind forever. But in the meantime, or in his times, he makes that known to us prior to that time, who is the blessed and only a potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I would understand and believe that in the life of God's children, that's always on our radar. That's always something that God intends, that he has in store for us to understand. Of all the things that we understand, listen, understanding salvation by grace, we need to understand it. We need to understand the process of salvation by grace. We need to understand foreknowledge and predestination and election and calling and sanctification and all of those things. All those doctrines, great doctrines that God's word teaches us about. But all of those are just like streams flowing to a river, and like rivers flowing to an ocean, that they're just means for us to look at the ocean. You know, we can stand on the bank of a stream and just feel the power of that, the calmness of it. There's nothing like it. We can stand on the shore of a river, and we can feel the power of it. You know, large river. The larger the river, perhaps the larger the power that you feel. But all of that pales if you've ever had this experience, and probably all of us have. We've stood by small streams, creeks, rivers, small rivers, large rivers. It just baffles my mind to think about a river being a mile wide. You know, that's almost as wide as it is from here to Headland. But when you stand on the shore of the ocean, or you fly over the ocean, Sister Lane and I, of course, as you know, went to the Philippines. The most of that trip we spent flying over the Pacific Ocean. I'd walk around that plane, look out this window, look out that window, look out. Everywhere you looked, there was ocean. And you could just feel the power of that. Well, you know, there's power in a babbling brook. Yea, though I walk beside the still waters, but there's potentate in an ocean. Well, that's for us to think about, which in his times he shall show. Our experience here in time is, and the things that we see here on this earth are just, they're just streams and springs and creeks and small rivers compared to the ocean that he is the potentate. And like the streams and the creeks and the rivers and all that flow into the ocean, our experiences are to take us to God, to bless us to flow into the ocean of who he is, the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality. Again, you know, Paul didn't just say who hath immortality, but who only hath immortality. He's the only one. He's going to bless us to be immortal. You know, once we get into his presence, once we leave this world and awaken his presence, we'll die no more. Not because of anything that we've done or can do or that anything anybody else can do in the process, but because he is immortal. And he's called us, he's created us in his image and after his likeness. Not only for here in time, but for eternity. And as the Apostle Paul tells us in the resurrection chapter, that when this mortal shall have put on immortality. Well, that immortality that we're going to put on is coming from God, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. which no man can approach unto. You know, Moses was up in that mount. He was in the presence of God. He come down from that mount, and his face shone so much that he had put a veil over his face. Don't you wish you could be that close to God here in time like Moses was? But you remember in that experience, he said, you know, the Lord, in his conversation with him, in his dealing with him, Moses said, Lord, I want to see your face. I want to look at, see who you are. What do you look like, God? Sorry, Moses. You can see a lot of things. But that'll have to wait. Because while you're a man, no man can look on my face at any time. Can't do it and live. That'll have to wait. Because there's a light. God is light. He, you know, I think the closest that anybody's ever come to that I can remember of seeing that is whenever those apostles saw Jesus Christ in that light. Whenever he was, what's the word, translated before them. Transfigured before them. No man can approach him, whom no man has seen nor can see. To whom be honor and power everlasting. All we have a great God, don't we? He's all powerful. He is the only potentate. May the Lord bless us to never forget it.